Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
Here, before all men, I challenge him, the imposter, to declare his name.
But die, hero? No man ever heard of him.
Welcome, Sir Knight.
Be gone, thou fearful woman.
Ah, look! See the swan? He comes!
Greetings, Junior Scholars. I am Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the classics and inspire children to a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in literature and history. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in each and every episode, and especially my Patreon supporters who help keep the show going and growing. If you like what we are doing, creating stories for the good of your kids, consider supporting me on Patreon for $5 a month. Today, we conclude the story of Lohengrin with part 5, The Departure of Lohengrin. But before we get to the story,
lost and found words!
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try to spot them during the story. Our first word today is burger with a B. B-U-R-G-H-E-R. Burger. This is a citizen of a town or city, typically a member of the wealthy. Our second word today is indignant with an I. Indignant. This means feeling or showing annoyance at what is thought to be unfair treatment. You could also say resentful, unhappy, or offended. Our third word today is illustrious with an I, illustrious. This means to be well known, respected, and admired for past achievements. You could also say noteworthy, distinguished, or prestigious. And our last word today is tarry with a T. It's T-A-R-R-Y, tarry. This means to stay longer than intended, to delay leaving a place. You could also say linger, procrastinate, or dawdle. That's all for today's Lost and Found Words. Now on to the show.
The Departure of Lohengrin. It was Princess Elsa's wedding day. The sober old city of Antwerp had blossomed out in colors gay as a spring garden, with banners, ribbons, garlands of flowers, and triumphal arches. Not a burgher or a prentice, but kept holiday. Royal weddings were not an everyday sight, more especially when the bride was a princess of such beauty and virtue, and the bridegroom a knight who had risked his life for her sake. Every maid in Antwerp would gladly have gone through fire and water just for a sight of the knight in silver armor. Greatly were those envied who had seen him arrive, drawn by the snow-white swan. The bells of the old cathedral rang out in joyful chime. From every quarter came a stream of people, all hurrying to secure the best places from which to see the bridal procession. Guarding the entrance of the cathedral, on either side, were stationed knights and nobles in full court dress, ablaze with medals and decorations, helmets and waving plumes. "She comes! She comes! Make way for the bride!" sang a chorus of voices. And Elsa appeared, more beautiful than a spring morning. Little children, clad in white, strewed her path with flowers. Maidens of high degree followed, bearing her bridal train. Never had a fairer, happier maid passed through the ancient doorway to become a bride. Smiling and bowing graciously, Elsa ascended the cathedral steps, when suddenly her way was barred by a tall, commanding figure who pushed through the astonished crowd and stood before her. It was Ortruda. The attendants and courtiers stood aghast. "The woman must be mad," they exclaimed to one another. Elsa could scarce believe that this was the same Ortruda who a few hours before had knelt in the dust at her feet. Pale and trembling, she cried,
"Ortruda, is it possible? What has happened to change thee thus terribly?"
Ortruda gave a mocking laugh.
"Thinkest thou that because I foolishly forgot my high position and my worth for one short hour, I must forever after approach thee crawling? My lord was first in all the land. Not a foe but feared his sword. Not a tongue but spake his praise. But thy hero? No man ever heard of him. Thou thyself canst not even give him a name."
The people murmured indignantly, "Will no man silence this slanderous woman?" But all trembled, remembering her reputation as a witch, and not daring to brave her wrath. Fortunately, at this moment appeared the king's outriders, followed by the royal bodyguard and King Henry himself, riding side by side with the bridegroom.
"What ho!"
cried the king, looking at the threatening figure standing across the bride's path.
"Who dares to make a strife on a wedding morn?"
Lohengrin hastened to Elsa's side.
"What do I see? Why is this terrible woman near thee?"
he asked.
"Oh, my deliverer, protect me from her. Pardon me that I forgot thy warning. Seeing her in misery at the door last night, I took her in. Behold now how she turns on me and mocks me for thy trust in thee."
Lohengrin stood between Ortruda and the trembling Elsa.
"Begone, thou fearful woman. Carry elsewhere thy poison. Here is no soil in which it can take root."
"Hold there,"
cried a harsh voice.
"O king, hearken, I pray. Greatly hast thou been deceived. The combat was no heaven's ordeal, for by the evil power of magic, justice was turned aside. Here, before all men, I challenge him, the impostor, to declare his name and race, and from where he came, drawn hither by that unholy bird. If he dare not say it, methinks it looks bad for his knightly truth and honor. I appeal to thee, illustrious prince, demand thou a reply from this unknown hero. He will scarcely dare to call thee unworthy of his answer."
Lohengrin confronted the wrathful Telramund.
"All honor would I ever show to his most illustrious majesty, but there is only one to whom I am bound to reveal my secret. That one is Elsa, my bride."
Lohengrin feared for one dread moment that the wicked Ortruda's poison had, after all, begun to work. One moment only. Then, to his joy, Elsa raised her head, and shaking off all doubt, she cried,
"What he keeps secret, that he does in wisdom. She whom he has saved, shall she not trust him?"
And the king added heartily,
"My hero, pay no regard to evil speakers. Thou art too far above them for such to tarnish thy spotless fame."
The nobles then pressed round Lohengrin, assuring him of their trust and devotion, even though he should never see fit to reveal his name. And the wedding procession entered the cathedral in solemn state. When the wedding feast was over and the wedding guests had gone, Elsa and Lohengrin sat at the window, looking out on the starlit night. Elsa sighed. A tiny cloud crept over her heart at the thought that she knew no name by which to call her love. Lohengrin noticed it and strove to turn her thoughts from the dangerous subject. But Elsa continued, as though forced to return to it.
"Have I not shown thee highest trust? Trusted in thy promise. Now my greatest joy is in thy love. It is the only reward I ask for all that I have left behind. For not out of night and sorrow did I come to thee, but out of light and glory."
"Alas, then thou art farther removed, and I yet more unworthy than ere I dreamt. Any day may rob me of thee. Ere long thou wilt surely regret thy humble choice, and long after thy departed glory.
Tears blinded her eyes. Lohengrin saw too late that what he had told her but increased her doubt and unhappiness. She longed now more than ever to be trusted with his secret.
The fear lest thou depart will haunt me day and night. Who is this unknown one? Whence comes he?
No peace now for Elsa, day or night, until she can answer.
Alas, it was by a miracle thou camest here. Thy path is hidden, like thyself, in mystery. Thy life is divided from mine by a cloud. Ah, look!
She cried, clutching wildly Lohengrin's arm.
See the swan? He comes! There, down the river. He brings the boat. Thou hast called him.
Oh, Elsa, cease this madness,
cried Lohengrin in despair.
Nothing can give me peace again till I know, even though it cost me my life, who thou art and whence thou comest.
Alas,
groaned Lohengrin, covering his face with his hands. So absorbed were they both that they did not hear the stealthy tread upon the stair, nor the low, muffled voices outside the door. Suddenly, there was a crash. The door broke open, and a group of dark figures, cloaked and masked, barred the passage, while one of the number rushed toward Lohengrin, drawing his naked sword. It was the work of an instant. Lohengrin had but time to seize his sword when the stalwart figure closed with him. In the flickering torchlight, he parried the foe's first deadly thrust, and before he had time for a second, the trusty sword of Lohengrin had pierced to his traitorous heart. With a deep groan, he fell back, and Elsa beheld, as she suspected, the face of Frederick of Telramund. Hearing the noise, Elsa's attendants and guards now crowded into the room. The dark, masked figures had fled on seeing their master fall. Lohengrin turned to the guards and bade them bear the body of Telramund before the king's judgment seat. Then, to Elsa's attendants, who supported their fainting mistress, he said sadly,
"Make her ready to appear before the king. There I will meet her and answer her question, who I am and from whence I come."
At noon next day, King Henry held a review of his troops. Before leaving Antwerp, the king desired to collect forces for a war against the savage drones, who were threatening the peace of Germany. The king counted greatly on Lohengrin's help, for never had he seen one more fitted to command and lead his troops. But now, the appointed hour had come, and still the king waited for the arrival of the knight. Presently, all were startled by the appearance of a solemn procession, bearing in their midst the body of a dead man. "Make way," whispered the crowd, awestruck. "These are the followers of Telramund." Close on them followed Elsa and her ladies. Alas, how changed from the happy bride of yesterday.
"Ah, here he comes, our hero," cried the people, as Lohengrin at length appeared.
"Welcome, Sir Knight. We look to thee to lead these brave troops on to victory."
"Alas, my lord the king, it is not possible for me to lead thy soldiers as I hope."
"Heaven help us, what means this?"
cried the king, dismayed, not only at Lohengrin's words, but by his sad, solemn bearing.
"First, I ask thy righteous judgment before all the people concerning this man."
He pointed to the body of Telramund.
"In the middle of the night, he fell on me unawares. Was I right in that I slew him?"
"Thy hand was but the instrument of a just heaven in so slaying him,"
replied the king, sternly regarding the dead traitor.
Ye heard all how she, my bride, gave me her promise that never would she ask who I am or from whence I came. Now, alas, she has broken that promise. She has listened to traitorous counsel. Now hear, all ye people, whether my secret is one to be ashamed of before king, nobles, and the world.
Lohengrin raised his voice till it rang on all sides like a clarion.
In the distant land, far from hence, is a mountain named Mount Salvat. In the midst stands a temple. None on earth can compare with its magnificence. Therein is guarded a sacred treasure brought thither years ago by an angel host. It is the Holy Grail. The knight who serves the Grail derives divine strength from the power of its might. Before him, evil flies, and death itself is vanquished. Even when far away in distant lands, so long as the knight remains unknown, the Grail still renews his strength. But the working of the Holy Grail must ever remain veiled. Once the source of mystery is revealed, the blessings granted must be withdrawn. Such is the Grail's command. I was hither sent to you by the order of the Grail. My father is Parsifal, the king. I am his warrior, Lohengrin.
Elsa listened like one hearing her death sentence. Had not her lady supported her, she must have fallen.
Oh, Elsa, why didst thou tear my secret from me? Now, alas, we are parted forever.
The swan,
cried a chorus of voices near the bank of the river. Elsa turned to look, and there, sailing swiftly towards them, came the snow-white swan, drawing the small boat in which the shining knight had arrived.
Oh, my Elsa, the Grail has sent for me. I dare not tarry. 1 year only, and I might have had the joy of seeing thee again, united to thy long-lost brother. For he is not dead, and by the might of the Grail, he was then to be restored to thee. Now hearken. Should he return, give him these, my sword and horn and ring. The sword will bring him victory in battle. The horn will bring him help in time of need. And the ring he shall wear in memory of me. Farewell, my beloved bride. Farewell forever.
The end.
This concludes the story of Lohengrin. I hope you enjoyed the tale. Until next time, I am Sir Bradley Hasse. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email
to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Junior Classics.
And now, a piece from our friends at Fantasy and World Music titled Prince Charming.